GAA on Off the Ball.
We'll move on to GAA. We have Kieran Donaghy with us and Billy Joe Padden. You're there, lads.
We are.
Hey, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. So, well, let's take a backward glance at the Super 8s for a moment, because everybody is given their tuppence worth and how they went in year two. The biggest issue I suspect a lot of people have, Billy Joe, is that the dead rubbers were grim at the weekend in Oban especially, and probably unavoidable. I'm not sure if there is a way to avoid them. But this recovery time, like Mayo, 6 days to recover, one of those going to be a travel day as well. Like this is a dreadful thing, really, given the magnitude of the game. You train from December, January. I accept there's probably a price to be paid if you lose a game early on in the championship and you head for the qualifier circuit and, you know, tough luck, you got to deal with it. That is the price to be paid. But if you have come through the various pitfalls to make an All-Ireland semi-final and you've been training since December, January, then to have this kind of preparation for a semi-final is just wrong. Like, it's almost a matter the GPA should step in on and say, look, it's too big a game for lads who pick up a knock on a Saturday to have their whole preparation for a semi-final completely disrupted. That's one of the big things they're going to have to change sooner rather than later.
I think so. I think it's totally insufficient. And it's not just, like, people can point to, say, Mayo or Tyrone's circumstance and say, well, if you'd gone and won your provincial title, you wouldn't have had to play all those games, you know, where it'll be 6 and 7 weeks, I think, when we get to the weekend. But you look at Dublin as well. Dublin have only 6 days to prepare for an All-Ireland semi-final, and they have done absolutely everything that has been asked of them in superb fashion. So it is just totally insufficient. It's not fair on supporters either, trying to organise trips and travel and all that, particularly if you're travelling from the south of the county or even Mayo or Kerry or places far away. It's just something that has to be looked at. And I think it has to be looked at in the frame of the overall structure of the championship, because I think many people have said that the Super 8s, the idea of playing league games at the end or maybe sort of somewhere in the middle of your championship is not the norm in any other sport that I'm aware of. And I don't think it leads to the better competition, because I think if the league games were happened earlier, you would in the championship, you'd have teams that would be able to get into a bit of a rhythm. You may have weaker counties that would get a bit of momentum and be able to put up better showing than if they were to make it to a last-day format where you had quarterfinal, semi-final, and so on.
Kieran, in terms of how we're feeling about the Super 8s, the other thing people have mentioned is the Croke Park games don't really work. So say we get rid of the Croke Park games, that would be another improvement for year three. Any other bits and pieces you'd like to see tweaked or changed?
Yeah, I think possibly getting to play, if they can't do anything with the calendar, which I hope they can, but if they can't, I'd at least prefer to play the 3 games in a row in the group and get my 2 weeks if I qualified for an All-Ireland semi-final. I think every manager and every player would say, yeah, we'll take that deal. We'll go with the hard 3 weeks in a row and kind of have that 4 or 5 days after that to kind of rest, and maybe a weekend as a training camp to get your group in together for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the build-up for the week ahead, and then let them wind down again, do your Wednesday night session and get ready to go to Croke Park. I don't think any players or management would have an issue with that, but then you're trying the 3 games in a row, which is tough on players as well. But, you know, I think with the fitness levels and the preparation that these players put in, I think you can play 3 games in a row. But again, you probably need a week off before that. So the qualifiers would need a week off before that 3 games, and you need a week afterwards. So there's probably another week they have to find another week in the calendar somewhere if they're going to stick with the proposed format. But yeah, like, you know, it is tough in Dublin, but like Dublin get the perks as well of playing 2 home games. So, you know, them having a 6 day, you know, turnaround versus Mayo, it is tough because as Billy Joe said, they won their provincial championship. They've done everything the right way and just getting a bit of punishment. So look, it's just the way it is now, and it's kind of an oversight by them when they were doing this, and they made tweaks last year, Joe, and I hope they make the necessary tweaks as you've mentioned. And if they do that, you know, I think we're still benefiting from better games. Like, we had a lot of good games this year in the Super 8s. We had better games this year than we did last season in it. I think it's going to improve all the time. And if it is left in next year, if you do get, you know, your 8 teams in, I'm sure there's going to be great games next year. Whereas that quarterfinal weekend in August was always a kind of, it was a non-event really, with a lot of it poor crowds going. And the odd big game, maybe if Dublin are playing a Kerry or Mayo, would have been always the big one. But the rest of them would have been played two on a Saturday, one on a Sunday, one on a Monday, or whatever way it was. And the bigger games would be stacked at the end of the week. But I think this way, I think the scenes in Castlebar last week, the scenes below in Killarney, the scenes over with even with Roscommon against Tyrone was a game we covered, and the atmosphere was unbelievable at it. So I think these atmospheres are good for players and fans.
And there's no real way, Kieran, to avoid the odd dead rubber.
No, dead rubbers are going to happen, you know, and I know Tyrone and people are kind of, you know, Tyrone and Dublin was, but, you know, for a manager in a way, like, you're getting every fella that's trained his arse off all year, you're getting to throw him out into a highly competitive game in front of a big crowd to see what he's made of. And, you know, I think Dublin, you know, found a few the last day that, you know, all of a sudden you'd say, geez, if the game's in the melting pot, now we know we can go with these guys. And, you know, I think that's good for the morale of a group as well. If you're lucky enough, if you're in the position where you go win your first two games and you're able to do that in your last game, you know, whether it's a dead rubber or whether it's a game and you want to just try and rest fellas and play the rest of your panel who've been working really hard all year as a reward, you know, it has to be, you know, it's good for the respective managers and management teams, I would say, for the harmony in the group to get everyone to get a gallop. I'm sure that would really re-energise a group rather than fellas sitting down and the usual guys playing all the time.
Billy Joe, we have a brilliant semi-final lineup, you know, Kerry Tyrone and Mayo Dublin. You know, Mayo Dublin, pretty much the rivalry of the last decade. Seven times they've played, the Dubs have won four, Mayo won. There have been two draws as well. One of the more common points I've heard made over the last couple of days, and it ties in with the issue of the six-day turnaround, is that if Mayo had 2 weeks to bunker away and come up with a plan and patch up the knocks and come back, they'd have a right crack at Dublin. But 6 days, travelling up on the Friday, it's too much to ask.
I think so. I think they're going to have a right crack anyway. They've put too much into this season already to, you know, to, I suppose, roll over. And definitely with the history they've had against Dublin, where they have come so close, and there is a genuine rivalry there where there is maybe even some dislike between some of the players. So they're going to give it absolutely everything they have. But you don't have to look too far back to see where Mayo have struggled in this situation. They put an awful lot into beating Galway in Limerick a couple of weeks ago, and then 6 days or 7 days after that, they had a really flat performance down in Kerry against a very good Kerry team on that day. So it's going to be extremely difficult for them to match the energy levels and the intensity levels that they know they can reach, but just can they do it in such a short space of time with mounting injuries all the time and with their team getting a little bit older than maybe they were 3 years ago.
Kieran, do you feel the same way?
I don't know. I think the game Saturday is no harm for Mayo. Obviously, in an ideal world, you'd love to kind of rest everybody and make sure everybody's right. But I just felt like they got an awful lot of momentum below in Castlebar the last day. And I would feel that the group are, you know, bar the guys that are probably sweating against injury, the three or four guys that are, you know, Dermot O'Connor is possibly, he'll play. If they tape his arm together, he'll probably want to play in that game. Matthew Ryan 11 another week, Tom Parsons 11 another week. They say that they would have been on the panel, they would have got a bit done in the lead up to the last game. So they're going to have another bit in the tank this week. And momentum is a funny thing, and I think Mayo have got an awful lot of it out of that game the last day. And Mayo will always rise it, you know, in fairness. Anytime they've played Dublin, you know, they may not have won, but they never didn't perform. And I think they'll give a big performance on Sunday. Whether it's good enough, I wouldn't be so sure. But, you know, as the week builds on, it's a one potentially that they could just nick from under the nose of everybody and put in the biggest surprise that we've seen in an awful long time. They have the ability to do that. They have the players. If they perform really well and their key players, like we saw last week, outperform their opposite numbers, you know, Mayo have a chance on Saturday. But, you know, it's a huge mountain to climb to try and go beat this Dublin team after all of them having a massive rest this week. And you're sure, you know, they'll have seen the performance by some of their teammates, and they'll be making sure that their semi-final performance is a big one, that if they win, that they're on the team for the final. So it's a big ask. But, you know, this Mayo team, you know, they always rise when they're playing the really good times, or really good teams, and they often lower their level when they're playing teams below them. They'll always just do enough. You know, Donegal were good. They weren't missing Neil McGee. They weren't missing Jason McGee in the middle of the field. They were missing a few other fellas, you know, and Paul Gallagher obviously is a huge loss. So, you know, they were kind of under strength. But, you know, this was a real game of honour the last day, and both teams going at it. And, you know, Mayo would have to be way more clinical in front of goals. And, you know, but they have the ability to do that. They have very dangerous forwards. And if they are very clinical in front of goals the next day, and their half-back access and their middle of the field access with Aidan O'Shea, who's a colossus at the moment, if they get him, Colin Boyle, Lee Keegan and Paddy Durkin, if they're winning ball and going forward a lot and putting Dublin on the back foot, you know, you saw what Cork did to Dublin at times, and I know Dublin wouldn't have been up for that like they will be the next day. But they, you know, that running game that Mayo have is very similar to what Cork do really well, and Mayo are as good if not better than them at it. So, you know, Higgins back the next day, you know, he was a bit harsh in his tackle the last day, and I'm sure he won't do that again next week. But you know, they look forward to Joe. They will. I know that, I would say within that group, they're saying bring it on.
Yeah. Are Dublin susceptible then to that direct running, Kieran? Because what everyone talks about is the Dublin full back line under the high ball as one of their great weaknesses. Colm Keyes rightly pointed out today in the Irish Independent, thought it was a good point, that for the first time under Jim Gavin, Dublin have reached a semi-final without conceding a goal from play. So, you know, I guess every team is susceptible to a big ball lobbed in to some big fella like yourself. You know, it's just not an easy situation to deal with. So there's that. But they haven't actually conceded from play. Cork did cause them trouble running at them. Is that an area you think we're going to see?
Well, it'll be an area, like, it shows you we're looking at these big weaknesses in Dublin that you should run at them in the high ball and they haven't conceded a goal from play.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're laughing at all of us with that commentary. But look, at the end of the day, you know, that half back line that Mayo possess, like Paddy Durkin, when I say he was immense the last day, he was just unbelievable. Yeah. Like, you know, it was more than just the 3 points as well. Like, it was shutting down, it was hard hitting, it was even running to be an option sometimes when he didn't get the ball, but he's going so fast, he's taking bodies away with him. And you know, in Dublin haven't really got a test this year yet, you know. And Mayo will test their pulse. You know, everything will have to go right for Mayo. You know, they'll have to take all their chances. They have to be way more efficient in front of goal. They can't get any black cards. Aidan O'Shea is going to need to have a monstrous game out in the middle against Fenton. But can all that happen? It can. And if it does, Mayo will run Dublin close on Saturday. But at the same time, saying that, you know, it just depends. Like, if Dublin turn up and they're really at it, you know, it could be a long day. But I do just feel that Mayo might just, you know, put in the performance of a summer here, and it might take him close. And you never know when you get in against somebody close who hasn't been there in a long time. You know, it could rattle them. But again, this Dublin team have never really come up short when they're leading.
No, it's true. Billy Joe, curious for your thoughts on some of the matchups, you know, because that was such a factor at the weekend. McBrearty marked by Barrett, McHugh with Durkin, Lee Keegan and Michael Murphy, although, you know, Murphy had a very good game, but Keegan, we know what he can do when it comes to man marking. And then Jim Gavin has a few different pieces to play around with. Jimmy Connolly played at Enoma and that, you know, the usual nice touches as you would expect, but there was nothing like the intensity that we're going to see at Croke Park. But it certainly means he can name a hell of a dummy team and give James Horan and friends something to think about. Keegan Mark Kilkenny in the 2017 final. And then you've got the likes of Mannion and O'Callaghan for company as well, knocking around, and you're going to have to get matchups right there. Do you get someone to man-mark Jack McCaffrey, I wonder, is a question. I'm sure they might discuss it this week above in Castlebar. So talk to us about some of the matchups that you're thinking about at the moment.
Well, I think you go back to Lee Keegan and you go back to Kieran Kilkenny straight away, because Lee Keegan was exceptional in some of those games against Kieran Kilkenny, and Kieran Kilkenny's response to that of being kind of outmarked in the game has been exceptional, because he's gone and added something to his game where he is not just a playmaker all the time, because sometimes it can be easy to man-mark a playmaker because he's running around looking for loads of possessions that mightn't be, you know, hard-won possessions and playmaking, whereas Kilkenny has gone and adapted, and now he can do a stint in the full forward line and be very dangerous there. But I suppose the benefit for Keegan is that Keegan is comfortable playing in the full back line. Well, he's not as comfortable, but he's fairly comfortable playing in the full back line. I think as well that you give serious consideration, and I think I would go with it, of playing Paddy Durkin on Jack McCaffrey and just letting those two, you know, greyhounds chase each other up and down Croke Park. And in many ways, I think it's a spectacle to go and see those two matchups in themselves. And if Mayo are to win this game, I think they'd need Mayo to those two matchups would need to go significantly in Mayo's favour, and then you'd want to survive in some of the other areas. Chris Barrett and Brendan Harrison played very, very well against Donegal, and you're looking at Con O'Callaghan and you know, Dean Rock or Paul Mannion, probably more likely, as you say there, they'll have to figure out who's best suited for each one of those. And then the big question is, Dublin have Brian Fenton, and will you decide? I don't think Mayo will put Aidan O'Shea on him. I think that they might take a risk and see if Matty Ruan has 40 minutes of running ability in him, and he's a great athlete. Can he cover Fenton for that period and see if then if he can, maybe Jeremy O'Connor might have 30 minutes in his legs towards the end. But I really think it has to start with what Mayo do with Jack McCaffrey and Kieran Kilkenny, and the two men for that job will be Paddy Durkin and Lee Keegan, I imagine.
Right. Final thoughts on those matchups, Kieran?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd nearly like to see Paddy Durkin kind of playing it at right half back on a Howard or whatever, and just using, just taking Howard out of the game by driving forward constantly. I think you can get away with a McLaughlin on Jack McCaffrey. He's played as a sweeper like Kevin McLaughlin, and you know he could play as a kind of defensive forward, picking up ball. He's a good foot passer through the lines, so he might do that as well. Look, Jack McCaffrey, you know, I just don't know what he's going to do, what he's going to do, and he's going to make his runs. But I think, I don't know, would Durkin become nearly too obsessed? Because Jack does a lot of kind of blind running down the pitch, whether he has the ball or not, you have to follow him. Whereas McHugh be more kind of crafty, kind of, you know, you'd have to really keep your eye on him. He can pop up in different areas where Jack goes on these bursts and he's gone. And I think Kevin McLaughlin can stay with him for a bit of them and try and force them down the line. I think I would like to see Mayo try and keep that half-back line, just line them out wherever, and Keegan picks up Kilkenny and everybody else goes and stays in their spots and tries to hurt Dublin rather than trying to kind of react to Dublin or defend Dublin.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing spectacle. The word is, by the way, the weather's going to be fairly dreadful. It's going to be wet. I think it was Dick Clerk and I saw yesterday in the Irish Independent, he was saying, Billy Joe, that suits Mayo. Bit of rain is good for Mayo.
Definitely slows down that Dublin middle third, makes that handling of the ball a little less crisp. And I think it'll play into the hands of particularly Shamie O'Shea and Aidan O'Shea. They're so physical around the middle of the field, probably not as mobile as the Dublin pairing. And I think that some of the Mayo forwards in themselves are maybe not the quickest. I know Killian O'Connor is usually pretty sharp in wet conditions. Darren Cohen is not the quickest, but he's a good outside shooter. Sometimes in wet conditions, he can get shots like that.
Yeah.
And even when you're bringing Andy Moran off the bench, a fellow with his cleverness, he's so quick on a breaking ball or a slip by a defender, is using his awareness that, yeah, I think most Mayo people, including myself, would be praying for rain on Saturday.
Right, okay. And so David Clark is back in the frame. Who starts?
That's a difficult one. David Clark is the superior goalkeeper, but if it's wet, and if which is promised to be, I think that James might go with Robbie Henley just to play long kickouts pretty much throughout.
Okay. Kieran, who would you start?
It's probably a tricky one, but again, going on the bit of confidence from last week, I'd probably just stick with Henley. And we don't know, what knock David Clark picked up. So I'd be going with Henley and try and keep it going. He was doing a really good long kick out. They tried to hit Kevin McLaughlin a few times. You know, I wasn't getting what they were doing, but I get what they were going straight down the middle over everybody that was up for Donegal, and it was often to kind of a half forward. But you know, I just didn't think McLaughlin was the right man to be out underneath him. He's very good at getting breaks, so. If they can just maybe change that, and if Dublin do the press up, maybe Clark can just go along to Aidan O'Shea and see if he can do a kind of Michael Murphy and just knock it on to Paddy Durkin or Lee Keegan going after them. I'm sure Mayo will work on a few kind of... look, Mayo are going to have to score goals to win this game. Yeah. They're going to have to hope it's raining. They're going to have to hope Dublin play bad. All them things need to work for them. That's just the facts of it. But that has happened to teams before up there. A wet day in Croke Park is hard to play. And you know, I think Henley going long out the middle is, if Dublin are really in that high press, and they know they're going long and they can get their defenders to go running off of that guy that's competing in the middle, if they know it's all happening, I think that can be a weapon.
Okay.
On the weekend, Henley's good on the jabby kickouts as well, and he can come up and take the long freeze. So there's a few pluses to him that I'd probably just go with him and give him the nod over Clark.
And before we get on to Kerry Tyrone then, just a word on Donegal, Kieran, because, you know, for so much of the season, we were expecting big things. Michael Murphy was very honest afterwards. He said, like, we just, you know, kicked way too many wides. He said, myself included, we just didn't have the right stuff today, you know. And what was your sense of them when they got to this real business end of the championship against the Steel and Experience and Mayo? Because they'll come away incredibly disappointed, not least with the wides they kicked as well.
Yeah, I think the Kerry and Donegal game was two young teams kind of finding their way, really, in essence. And then Donegal, their next game is have to go to Castlebar to play a bunch of war dogs that have been there and done it for the last 10 years, have taken on massive disappointments, always come back, have the mental edge to keep coming back and keep trying to bring Sam across the Shannon and bring it back to Mayo for the first time in an awful long time. So I would say that, you know, they just want for what are a very hardened veteran team, and that's why they'll relish the chance of getting a crack at the Dublin. And I think honestly they do a better job against Dublin than Donegal would, because of the same factors. If Donegal went up to play Dublin next week, Dublin have so many hardened veterans and are so experienced team that they'd probably expose Donegal. That, along with the fact that Donegal were out without their two best defenders, without their best midfielder, and you know they had other knocks around the place that suffered, and Jamie Brennan kind of fell off the, you know, he was going so well, and then, you know, got marked out of it by Tom Sullivan above in Crow Park for Kerry, and you know it was just tough. He didn't have a great day at the office the next day. So a young player like that, one bad day can knock his confidence, but they'll all come back better next year. But I just think it was a year or two too early for Donegal, to be honest with you, Joe.
Okay, Billy Joe, Kerry against Tyrone on the Sunday. It's a 16th semi-final for Mickey Hart, which is kind of extraordinary. David Clifford's going to be fit despite a few back spasms at the weekend, so he's fine. There are fears there over James O'Donoghue. He is struggling. Kerry still managed 213 from play at Port Tolchin. And then Tyrone, obviously, 15 changes against Dublin, and it's very hard to draw any big conclusions from that game. So what are we looking at here? How's this shaping up for you, Billy Joe?
Well, I think you look at it and you're looking for it to see which team will have the advantage. And I think that the clear difference between the two teams is in the full forward lines. Whereas you have Cathal McShane, who's, you know, has been exceptional all year and been really, really good. But you just see there's much more depth in the Kerry full forward line. And with, you know, Clifford will come back in there. Paul Ganey is in better form. Killian Spillane has been really, really sharp the last two games that Kerry have had, and they just seem to be, and that's probably leading to a situation where they're scoring all those scores from play, and that's without even mentioning somebody like Sean O'Shea, who was absolutely brilliant in Navan last weekend. So I think if there's an edge to one team in the wide open spaces in Croke Park, it would be in the Kerry forward line will be good enough to get enough scores. At the same time, you see vulnerability in probably both defences at times, and I think a lot of maybe Tyrone's kind of lethargic and disjointed play in the qualifiers had as much to do with fatigue playing week after week after week. So I'm expecting with the extra rest they got from playing fringe players last weekend that they'll have a whole load of energy to put in a good defensive showing. But I just still think that Kerry will add to that edge in terms of scoring power. But that will be no use to them if they don't get a consistent showing around the middle of the field. And David Moran was back in the team. He was really, really good. But you just sometimes you look at Kerry and you think, you know, they just need more consistency in terms of carrying the ball through that area. They need Paul Murphy in the game more often. You know, Jack Sherwood came on in Navan and handled a lot of ball. You know, Adrian Spillane probably wasn't as influential as maybe he was in the game against Mayo down in Clarnies. So they'll need a step up in that area of the field in order to dominate enough possession to really feed those bullets for their forwards.
Kieran, I presume the current Kerry team don't have any hang-ups when they see a Tyrone jersey.
I don't think so. I think Kerry have been very comfortable against Tyrone probably since 2008, really. You know, I think Kerry we won in 2012 and 15 as well in the semi-final. So no, I don't think there's any hang-ups there. I don't think any of these players would have been there in 2008. So possibly David Moran might have been on the bench. It's a Killian Young too, maybe. So they'll be the only two guys. But you know, I think, you know, there's no hang ups from this bunch of Kerry players about the Tyrone jersey. They are going to get their toughest game of the year so far. And you know, I don't know what Kerry will do. I don't know, will Kerry go a bit, you know, like they did in the league game below in Killarney? Like Kerry were very open at stages against me the last day. You know, rakes of space inside their 40, 65 at times to 2-on-2 with Tadhg Morley and Jason Foley. And, you know, if Tyrone have Cathal McShane and Matty Donnelly and the boys have no bit of help or protection, you know, that's a tough ask. So I don't know what Kerry are going to do. Are they going to hold and be really patient and do what kind of Cork did to Tyrone in the first half, which was be very measured, don't take it into contact, be very safe with the ball, especially early on, as you said there earlier on, especially if it's raining and it's wet. But Tyrone are, that week's rest is going to be massive for them because they're such a power-packed running team. The fact that all those lads have got a week off, the Sluddens, powerful runners, Matty Donnelly, obviously. So they're going to pose a real ask of Kerry on Sunday. But look, that's the joy of it. They're going to be two absolute banging semi-finals. It's kind of how Kerry approach it. I'm not sure they'll kind of go with the same gung-ho stuff they are. I don't know, has Peter maybe been keeping, maybe the bigger games come the end of the summer. I don't know. Maybe they do go gung-ho and they do apply the press that they've been doing. But it's going to make for brilliant viewing no matter what happens. But like the Kerry full forward line, I don't know how strong they are, but when you're a full forward player against this Tyrone system that they're currently playing, it doesn't really matter how good you are at times. It's if you can find the space to go running at a man when there's four or five fellas headhunting you every time you get the ball. So, they'll have to be very slick with the ball. They'll have to be very quick with their hands. They'll have to stay out of contact. They'll have to do a lot of kind of off-the-shoulder running, even if fellas don't get the ball, to take men away, to allow the ball carrier to maybe take on these men one-on-one then. But they will certainly be working, on that probably tonight at training and just maybe playing a kind of a slight possession game against a lot of defenders to try and just get that into the head. Because Cork did it for the first half an hour. They were brilliant. They were measured. They were controlled. They had a set piece off a kick-out that night. Could Peter Keane look at something like that? Do they have something like that up their sleeve? I don't know. I mightn't be so sure. That's the one time you're going to get Tyrone 6-on-6 is from the throw, and if you can win it and you can get an early ball in, or if fellas have an idea of what the plan is if we win a throw-in, that's the only time you're going to get really exposed. That's the only time Tyrone defensively are exposed one-on-one, and they're not great one-on-one defenders, but they're brilliant defenders in the crowd because they all have each other's backs.
Jesus, there's not much time to sort all that out, is there? Like, even detail of what you do with the throw-in. It's such a pity for the spectacle, both games, that they haven't had like the 2 weeks to work each other out, not to repeat ourselves again.
No, you're right though, but that 2 weeks would allow you to maybe come up with one or two things on a training, and that's why a training holiday for amateur players, or that little kind of weekend camp, is so good for amateur players, because all of a sudden you get them away from family and friends and pressures at home to kind of to be coming up with ideas and executing ideas. And you can definitely say that Cork had worked on that kick out. When did they work on it before Tyrone? I don't know, was it the week beforehand? Did they talk about these things earlier on in the year and try them and say, look, if we win this throw-in and the 3.5 hours run out for the break, we might get a one-on-one inside and then wheel off and try and get in. And it happened. They got a goal after 14 seconds and it set Cork up for a really comfortable first half. So you're looking at everything these days as a management team, and have they something like this done previously and have it in the locker? I don't know. If they did have it in the locker, it'd be a nice time to throw it out, because I think that's what a lot of semi-finals are going to turn into over the next few years with these Super 8s is having stuff that you can get through the Super 8s without going to, and if you need to go to them in the Super 8s, you go to them, but having them up your sleeve for that All-Ireland semi-final, ready to unleash them, and that your team are confident in them because you've worked on them in training over the previous 6 or 7 months. So, it'll be interesting to see, yeah.
I have about a minute here. So, predictions. Billy Joe, give us your two.
Dublin and Kerry.
Kieran?
I'm going to hold, Joe. I need more time.
That's not fair, Joe.
Yeah, I didn't know that was an option. I didn't know this was an option. When did this start?
Yeah,
I'm going to keep it for my prediction slot and shot clock on Thursday morning. So my predictions have been going well on that. So I might hold because I might have a big announcement on who I'm going with in the first game.
Oh, jeez, the nation holds its breath. My God, how will we last? Come here. Something I'd say you'll come back to on Thursday. 30 seconds if you can. Paul Galvin as Wexford manager. I can't wait to see this. What are you expecting?
I'm not sure, really, to be honest with you. I just know that Paul's team will have a clear identity of how they were. Paul's grown up in Fenuig, and they played their football with a very kind of together, united bunch, a small bunch, not many to pick from. Fellas play above themselves. They get the most out of each other. They're tough. They're intense. And I'm sure he'll feed a lot off of that with Wexford, because that's where, you know, Fenwick would always be the underdogs in a lot of these games. You know, obviously there's been games they've gone into with the likes of Fitzmaurice and Galvin and even Enda Galvin before that, that they would have been favourites in North Kerry or a few championship games with Field Rangers or whatever. But I think he'll have a lot of that kind of in them, Joe. I think he'll have a lot of kind of, you know, they'll know what they're playing for. They'll know the story of Wexford football. They'll know the history and tradition in there. He'll try and tap into how successful they were early days and just to maybe bring a bit of identity back to the county and obviously have them playing with that bit of a steely edge about them and that bit of togetherness that he would have played with all his life underage. And that's what he brought into Kerry. When you look at his what he was like in a Kerry jersey, Joe, it was basically what he learned from playing with all these fellas that were older than him in Fenwick.
Yeah. Lads, great stuff. Kieran, we await your predictions. It's going to be the countdown is on. This is phenomenal stuff. We'll start a clock in the corner of the screen. And Billy Joe, thanks a million. Good luck. GAA on Off the Ball. Now then, welcome back. Kevin Kilbane back in studio.
All good.
As we mentioned, you were in Castlebar, carried out of the stadium on the shoulders of his people.
No, I walked across the pitch after the game, which was quite nice. You know, yeah, I did. Didn't do the pitch invasion. I just waited 10 minutes and then I had my own pitch invasion. So it was nice, yeah.
Nice, yeah. So we're just going to round off this hour by hearing some of the reaction from the various participants. James Horan here, who's, had a busy summer. 8 of 9 weeks now, if they want to go all the way here. This has been something else. So James Horan here, he was talking to Oisin Langan, amongst others, and started off by just summing up that performance against Donegal.
Yeah, I thought the application and work rate was superb right through. The turnovers we won in the first half and the tackles that guys put in. We didn't get the return that we should have, so that's always a concern, you know, going into a second half and you knew Donegal were going to come at you. So they did. I thought they got a soft free or two and a penalty to get them into it. But we responded very well. I thought, you know, Andy Moore and even Kevin McLaughlin, Ferg Bowl and James Turkin, when they come on, I thought they were very strong for us and gave us an out ball. So we're delighted overall with the effort and the win. We went under pressure in the second half, as we knew we would. But I thought, you know, O'Shea matched it very well. Chris Barrett and the guys at the back were very composed on the ball and just kept doing, you know, the right things or what we think is the right things. And we got there in the end. We rushed a couple of shots in the first half. I don't think there's any doubt about that. When we probably had a bit more time or maybe one more pass, so it was maybe a bit of excitement, pressure, all those kind of things.
What's the most pleasing thing, your kind of physical edge tonight, the fact that you were able to turn over Donegal and blast them around the middle?
Look, when guys have that, you know, when you have 15 guys and the six guys that came on with that focus and that effort, it's great to see. And some of the tackling and work rate was inspiring, to be honest, and they were superb.
Is there a worry about the very short turnaround now to the semi-final?
No, we don't worry about that stuff. There's no point. We'll train probably once this week and we'll head to Dublin next Friday whenever it is and look forward to the game.
What do you need to do better in the next game than you did tonight?
I think our return from the amount of possession that we had, the turnovers we won were superb. But we as I said, we rushed some of the shots. We 14 wides, I think, in the first half. So that's too many. So we'll work on that.
Yeah, there he is. So I mean, he says they're not going to worry about the tight turnaround. That doesn't mean it's not going to be a factor. You'd be better placed than most. I mean, what, 7-8 weeks out of 8-9 weeks? Kind of, they've had 1-2 week break in the midst of this massive run. They're amateurs, so it's not like you and the lads going home for a nice rest after training.
Yeah,
to go to work and do the bits. And even they train once this week, and Friday is trip up to Dublin kind of day. They won't do much that day. So that's a big worry for them, you know, against a Dublin team who've had their feet up and were able to play second string team effectively at the weekend.
I think the 2 week break certainly helped them. You could see physically they certainly looked, well, I would say the performance of Saturday was a step up beyond they did produce all season, and I think it did help with the 2 week break. Yeah.
So now the worry is they revert to tight.
Regress again. Yeah. No, but I think that is a level that they've hit though now, and it's almost as if, I know that the turnover is not great, but get enough nutrition, everything, get yourself right. Everyone knows how to do that now.
Is it more the knocks? Someone who's got a dodgy ankle, someone who's got a dodgy
something? Yeah, and they have had the injuries over the summer as well. I mean, the level that someone like Paddy Durkin played at the weekend because of the injury that he'd had and forced him out over a few weeks, he'd obviously trained a little bit and got himself right. The level that he shown was incredible.
Yeah.
Seamus O'Shea as well hadn't played. It was his first start against Meath. The level that he got to was incredible. That was one of his best performances I've seen in a number of years
from
Seamus O'Shea. Brilliant, absolutely fabulous. and alongside his brother Aidan, the two of them were absolute fantastic. Yeah, they did great.
Yeah, you mentioned Aidan, so Oisin Langan also on the scene speaking to Aidan O'Shea at full time.
Aidan O'Shea, Mayo midfielder. All I can say after that occasion in that game is wow.
Yeah, it's I suppose it's hard to kind of figure what it's like when you're in the middle of the battle, but yeah, I'd say when you look back on it, or when you were in the crowd, I'd say it was something to behold. But yeah, look, I knew the Mayo and Donegal fans would come out in their thousands, and it's a pity that maybe some others couldn't get in the door today. But massive occasion, massive crowd, and great atmosphere to play in, and delighted to come out on the right side of it.
When you've needed to, you have delivered yet again. How have you come up with such a performance?
Look, we've got players. We've had a lot of players down all year. We've had, you know, Tom Parson back in the dressing room today, Matty back in the dressing room today, Paddy back. You know, all year we've had three or four go down, and again today, you know, Jason Garrity gone down, and hopefully he's okay. Looked a serious injury, and that kind of mentality in the group. You know, we've had big players go down, and other fellas have stepped up, and that's, you know, testament to the squad and what we've done over the league and through the winter. You know, look, we're by no means a finished article, and we know that, but we've blooded a lot of young fellas. I think we played 38 players from league to championship, and that's very impressive. And I think you're seeing the fruits of it throughout the championship. And to be honest, we back ourselves any time we go out on the pitch, and we've got good footballers, and that's what you get over there.
And from you, what an incredible game for you. Your work rate in the middle of the pitch is phenomenal. You'll be aware there's lots of debate about where you should play, what you do on the pitch, but I think tonight you did your job, to quote another great coach.
I know there's always a debate about where I should play or whether I'm playing well or not, and to be honest with you, I don't really care.
No debate tonight, you played well, and no debate for the season, being honest.
I don't pay too much attention to it. You know, I've got the backing of the group and the backing of James, and whatever role I've been given to do, I've always tried to do it to the best of my ability. I'm too long in the tooth now to worry about that stuff, but yeah, look, things went well tonight, and you know, we've got to dust ourselves down and get ready for next weekend.
He did an interesting interview during the week where he was saying there was a period in his career where he really just wasn't enjoying it.
Yeah.
Too much speculation, too much talk about him. And he seems to be in a good spot now.
This season he's been Mayo's best player.
Yeah.
Mayo's best player this year.
Arguably his best ever season. He's going to need to be very good next week.
He is.
This week.
Well, you know, again at the weekend, you know, there was talk, I think, was it the Kerry game, that he would miss the Kerry game as it was, struggling with injury. Mm. And managing your knocks, you mentioned it before. Yeah. Managing yourself more than anything else is getting yourself prepared for the game. But he will be key. If Mayo to win the game, he will be the key player. Yeah.
Michael Murphy's been brilliant all year. He had Lee Keegan following him around.
I was watching the game, Joe. Honestly, Lee Keegan wasn't watching the game at times. He wasn't even watching the ball. He was just stood on Murphy, yeah, just looking at Murphy the whole time. Wherever he went, it was, and he's the best in the business to do it, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was just a great watch for spells, just watching Keegan, what he was doing to disrupt Murphy. And of course, then Michael Murphy went full forward in the second half. I think we should just get away from him, you know. And
I'd say so. Just get out of my space for 5 minutes, yeah, please. So here's Michael Murphy then, as we leave this game in Castlebar, talking to Oisin.
Michael Murphy of Donegal, that's a particularly hard one to take, because I think it's fair to say, you know it yourselves, you didn't perform tonight.
Exactly, as I say, it's difficult to take and difficult to stomach, especially after the game. Listen, we didn't perform, we weren't at the levels individually or collectively as a team, but you know, credit must go to Mayo too for forcing that upon us. You know, we've played them over the last number of years here in do or die league games and in do or die championship games, and as I say, they've come out on top here today. They brought a level of intensity, physicality and football that we couldn't match there today, and you know, it was just disappointing, you know.
Why could you not match it? Is there just that bit much youth in your team? Are you kind of inexperienced? What was the reason you couldn't get up to their level?
Listen, that's what we're going to stomach over the winter months. It's very difficult to say just as of yet. Listen, we're going forward attacking ways. There were skill layers that were there in the team, and myself included. A lot of wides, a lot of balls dropped short. We hit out of chances and we just failed to execute them. We snatched at them. You know, it was around that middle third getting through. We had a lot of turnovers in that first half, and as I say, it's a culmination of both our lack of execution and the pressure that Mayo forcing us. So credit's due to them, the better team in the day, and they'll go long into the championship now again, you know.
And it's not just about a physical evolution for Donegal, it's about a mental one as well, because there was times when you got on the ball and just made the wrong decision, but that will come with time, won't it?
Yeah, that's what you believe as a footballer, and that's what you have to go back on now again. Unfortunately, we came down here, you know, everybody was in the high with the preparation done. Yes, we had a few injuries, but we were very, very confident with the team that we had here, that we were able to, you know, come with the performance, both, you know, physically and technically in the game, and just we didn't come up with the goods in the end. And as I say, that's a culmination of ourselves, you know, just not at it individually, and that's a culmination of what Mayo brought to us. So as I say, it's difficult to stomach. knocks us in after. It's an All-Ireland quarter-final, it's an All-Ireland semi-final, missed out on yet another year. So we're going to have to go back. We keep believing. I do believe what we have here is a good group of footballers. And I do believe, as I say, if we just keep at it and keep ticking and keep coming back again and again, that we can keep pushing on and put Donegal in a better place, you know.
Michael Murphy there talking to Oisin, real leader as usual. He's not missing his words. He's saying things like, we weren't at it, we had too many wides, and then says, me included, all pretty honest stuff. The worry for Mayo against Dublin is that Dublin won't have those wides.
Their
shot conversion rate will be up somewhere in the mid-60s. Sometimes they get up to the high 60s.
Yeah.
And there was a spell there in the second half where I just couldn't believe what Donegal were doing.
Exactly. I think even maybe from on the back of Mayo as well, though, I think Mayo can improve as well on that count.
Oh, you would think that.
Of course, there was a lot of wides for Mayo.
Yeah, it's true. First half, Mayo in particular. Yeah. And wasn't Tom Parsons popping up?
Oh, he should have said every time in the warm-up was just great seeing him. Every time he came close to touch lines, what a reception. I think he was... There was a spell maybe with about 3 or 4 minutes to go. It might have even hit injury time. And it looked like he was coming on, and the crowd was starting to get, you know, that little bit of anticipation. So if he did get game time up at Croke at the weekend, that would be incredible. Yeah, amazing achievement from him to get his body right.
He's a very impressive person. We spoke to him a week or two, maybe three tops, after the injury here in the show. And I mean, he got an unbelievable reaction from all around the country, but he was just very impressive. And he talked about how he was going to use the extra time well, maybe learn a language, maybe further himself academically.
Yeah, what a man.
And he was, you know, talking to all the right people, and he was going to do it in stages, and just very even-keeled, intelligent, I thought, really impressive. So it's just great to see him back, because that was a career ender.
Yeah.
Really was. Man, was. Big time a career ender, so it's good to see he's back. Just to finish up then on the weekend, you didn't see the Dublin-Tyrone game. You were
I was at Wembley, missed it.
Hard going.
Was it?
Yeah.
Tim Conley back, though.
Beyond that... Really hard going. So here's Stephen Doyle. He was there on the scene talking to Jim Gavin at full time.
Jim Gavin, Dublin manager. You get played a lot of players there who maybe haven't had much game time this summer. So were you impressed by anybody in particular?
I think overall, Stephen, is just a very, very comprehensive team performance. It's no surprise to us. We see the guys perform really well in training. You know, they love playing for Dublin. They love playing in front of Dublin supporters. We had a fantastic crowd again from Dublin today. They're just phenomenal fans. And every time we take to the field to represent them, we're just so privileged that we can come away to performance and thankfully with 2 points today.
They gave a lot of love to Jeremy Connolly, who came back to the starting lineup today. You gave him a warm handshake yourself there, despite the black card, whatever happened there. But do you think that's going to be good for Dermot's own self-confidence?
Listen, we like any player, if they're performing well in training games, we'll give them the slots, and there's no exceptions to that. Dermot loves Dublin football, Dublin GA. The players and myself love him, and he's been an outstanding servant, and you know, he's contributed an awful lot in recent weeks since he's been back with us. So we're just glad to get over today's game, and our focus now shifts next weekend.
Are you frustrated you only have a 6-day turnaround?
No, I think it's fair enough. Every team has the same challenges, so we just get on with it.
They don't quite have a 6-day turnaround, most of those Dublin players. Big advantage, there's no point saying otherwise. Mm. It's good to see Jeremy Connolly back. Contrasting opinions, I've listened to various people on whether or not he'll play on Saturday. Some people, I heard someone say he might start, and I've heard he won't be in the 26, and everything in between. That remains to be seen. Jimmy Gavin can certainly name an interesting dummy team.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Give Lee Keegan something to think about. Will I mark Connolly again, or will I mark Kilkenny, or what's going to happen? So, I presume it will be Kilkenny. But Connolly's back, and that's a nice little fill-up for them. You're on BBC on Saturday. You're not going to get to watch this match. This is heartbreaking.
Oh, God.
You're a man who trekked in here through the months of February and March, having gone to all Mayo's league games. Morgan's here is going to the semi-final.
You're the glory hunter, aren't you?
Sure, I got on to my dad, my mum. I was like, it's about the time we tend to pitch in. We go.
I'll sort the time. I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted. And I can't.
You should have known better.
No, do you know?
What are you doing?
Got a certain day. It's a block.
Don't say final score.
Bookings. I have to. Yeah, I have to. The BBC have announced this week all the new pundits and everything, and they're trying to get everyone in across the weekend. So no, I have to do it. I have to do it. And I'm, it's great.
So
it's
on
great
final score, who's presenting?
Be Jason Mohammed. Yeah.
When Jason turns to you and Kev and says, "Kev, goal there in the Watford game." and you're looking off at a different screen in the distance and turn to him blankly.
I'm going to make sure that that's on the floor. I'm making sure it's on the floor.
Sorry, we'll
be on
Jason,
air.
What?
Yeah, we'll be on air till half five. So up first half an hour of that game, I'm going to make sure that that's where I can see it. Or it's either that, or if someone sees an iPad on the telly, I'll definitely have it on the iPad there, yeah.
Not since Chris Kamara was not watching what was going on in the game will the reports be so poor. Yeah, look, Jason, this one could go either way. The stats say this. Any standout players?
They're all at it.
They're all at it. Yeah, you know, typical first day of the season. Yeah, I'd say. That's cruel. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it is. I'll try and get back. I'll maybe get the second half
get
in the
back
pub.
For the final.
I'll get back for the second half in the pub. Yeah,
make the final.
The ultimate optimist. Yeah, I get back for the final.
You get Dublin Kerry in the final. Football show's on the way. Back in just a couple of minutes' time.
GAA on Off the Ball.